Amen. Say, nobody can do me like Jesus can. Glory to God. This morning, I'm going to put together several scriptures. The title of my message is Never Give Up. Everybody say, Never Give Up. And I'm going to put together several scriptures back to back to back, so you may or may not have time to look those up. That's all right. If you're in the audience, they'll put them on the overhead for you. Because these scriptures, all of these scriptures are wonderful scriptures. You could teach on a long time, but they deal with different subjects, but they have a theme in them that I want you to see. So even though they deal with different facets of our lives, but they all tell us to never give up, to never quit, and to never lose faith. Glory to God. Somebody said 90% of those who fail were not actually defeated. They just gave up. Somebody else says there is no mistake so great as the mistake of giving up. Winston Churchill, who I think was probably the greatest world leader that we had in the previous century when it came to stopping Hitler. I mean, he took the lead over every world leader. And of course, England was right on the verge many times of being overrun by Germany. But Winston Churchill famously said, "When you're going through hell, keep on going. Never, never, never give up." Everybody say, never give up.
Never give up.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, but this is not just going to be a rah-rah motivational message. Not quitting, standing in faith, persevering is a spiritual law that governs and affects all of our lives. You know, just like there are natural laws. Natural laws affect us. We may not be aware of it, but we are being governed by natural laws every day of our life. If you get on an airplane and fly like John and Sheila just did from, you know, Cleveland to Dallas, they were affected by a lot of aerodynamic laws. And if those laws weren't working, that plane would have crashed, you know. They weren't aware of it, didn't think about it. But those laws were at work. Well, it's the same with spiritual laws. Those spiritual laws are in effect. They're affecting our lives all day long, every day, whether we're aware of it or not, just like gravity's. I mean, you know why something's a law? Because it always works. What goes up must come down. If you throw it up a million times, unless something interferes with it, it's going to come down a million times. That's why it is a law. There are spiritual laws that are designed to work for us and to help us. You know, and the Bible, of course, everybody has a Bible or can get to a Bible, and the Bible tells us what these spiritual laws are so that we can, on purpose, operate in them. You know, in the old days, I think a lot of times when it came to prayer, when it came to faith, when it came to everything, we just stumbled around in the darkness and every once in a while, you know, found the light switch, so to speak, and turned it on and got something from God, but we didn't know how we got it. Well, praise God, you can learn how to, on purpose, pray and get results. How to, on purpose, use your faith and get results. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So listen to these scriptures. The first one is Matthew 24, verse number 13. Amen. Thank God for the word. Matthew 24, verse 13. Now, this is talking about the dangers associated with end times. Here's the setting. Talking about the dangers associated with end times before Jesus comes back. And it says, He who endures, that means if you persevere, that means if you remain faithful, that means if you don't quit, that means if you don't lose faith, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Saved there doesn't mean come down to the altar and, you know, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It means you'll be rescued, you'll be delivered, you'll be kept safe. So he who endures, he who doesn't quit, will be rescued and delivered and kept safe. Amen. That's not only a true in connection with end time problems and pressures, but when it comes to any test or trial that you and I face, if we will get in faith and stay in faith, glory to God, and not give up and not quit, then we will overcome. And then Luke 18:1 says Jesus told a parable to the end. Now here's what it says, that men ought always to pray, or that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You ought to always pray and not lose heart. Many translations say you ought to always pray and not give up. Not give up. And he goes on to tell a parable. And in this parable, the emphasis is that those who pray in faith, those who persevere in faith, and despite delays, will get their prayers answered. See, it's the perseverance of faith that gets answers. And if you read that scripture, if you're looking at it right now in your Bible, he talks about the unjust judge. But don't compare God to an unjust judge. That's not a comparison. God's not the unjust judge. The scripture is telling us that even though that judge may be unjust, your Heavenly Father will hear your prayers and answer you if you pray and persevere in faith. Amen. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the context of Galatians chapter 6, the previous verses, is all about sowing and reaping. Well, the law of sowing and reaping applies to every area of our life. It's a spiritual law. What you sow, you reap. You sow finances, you reap finances. You sow kindness, you reap kindness. You sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. But in context, Galatians 6, 9 is very specifically talking about sowing finances. So it says, let us not grow weary. See, don't become discouraged and give up and quit. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Let us not become discouraged, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Other translations say, if we don't give up. Amen. You will reap if you don't give up. But if we give up and quit, particularly in this case, tithing and giving, then we won't reap a harvest. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 12, Hebrews 6, 12. And there are many scriptures along these lines. I'm just picking out this one. But this says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. How many of you want to inherit the promises? How are we going to inherit the promises? Through faith and patience. But you have to understand what the word patience here means in the Greek. It doesn't mean just you just put up with any and everything that comes along. No, the word patience here in the Greek means perseverance. It means, glory to God, to not quit believing because of the pressure of the contradictory circumstances. Through faith and patience. In other words, you get in faith, but now things don't change, but you have the promise of God, you have the Word of God, but your circumstances contradict the Word of God. So what do you do in the face of those contradictory circumstances? You continue to believe what God says. You continue, see? You don't quit, you don't give up, you don't become discouraged, but you stand fast, you hold on to the truth of God's Word, you persevere. Amen. Glory to God. So it's through faith that doesn't quit that we receive God's promises. Hallelujah. Now, one more, and there are many others, but one more just to establish the spiritual principle, the spiritual law of perseverance and not giving up and not quitting. Ephesians 6:11 says that we stand against or resist the wiles of the devil. We are to stand against, or you could say resist, the wiles of the devil. And then you remember James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, what if you don't resist the devil? What if you resist him for a little while, but then you give up and quit? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6 says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. You see that word withstand? That's the same exact Greek word found in James 4:7 that says resist. Resist the devil and withstand. Same Greek word. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand or to resist in the evil day. And having done all, stand. And then the next verse says stand. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this word withstand, resist, means to continually resist. Not just resist for a while, then quit, but to continually resist. It implies, one commentary says, a covenant of resistance. Amen. Another one says to perpetually resist, not just occasionally. So we are to continually. I know it's not fun, you know, but the devil never takes a vacation. You might take a spiritual hiatus or vacation, a bit of spiritual low, but he's still the mean old devil he's always been. And he's still, sorry, but he still hates your guts just like he always did. And he's out to get you and hurt you and to steal and kill and destroy from you just like he always been. So we can never not resist him. We are to continually resist the devil and evil and temptation. Can you say amen? Like I said, if we get lax or tired or discouraged and quit resisting, then what happens? Then we fail. Then we fall in some way. Glory to God. You know, and somebody says, well, I'll be so glad. Can you tell me, Pastor, when I reach that level of maturity where the devil can't ever tempt me anymore? Yeah, I can tell you. Never. Never. As long as you're here on the earth, Amen. The devil's got a right to be here, at least for now, because of Adam's fall and his sin. Amen. As long as you're alive here on the earth, you will be tempted. And so we have to continually, not just occasionally, resist the devil if we want to overcome life in our life. It's like the fellow that said, pray for me that, you know, that I'll never be tempted again. The pastor said, all right, Lord, take him home today. And he's like, wait a minute, I don't want to go to heaven. I just want you to pray that I'll never be tempted. He said, well, that's the only way you're never going to be tempted. So we have to resist. And so these scriptures we looked at, and there's others, they deal with facing tests and trials, with prayer, with giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, overcoming the devil, appropriating the promises. But all of them tell us that the key to victory, or one of the keys to victory, is to not quit, to never give up, and to never lose faith. Hallelujah. You know, when I first came to the Lord as a backslidden Christian, I was like 24 years old. Margaret and I became, you know, we sold out to God. We really were willing to give up all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And shortly thereafter, we accepted the call to the ministry. And it's about the same time we started learning the principles of faith. So we're experiencing a lot of challenges. You know, the challenges of being new in the Lord. I mean, we're growing rapidly. And spiritual growth is not necessarily by years. It's by how hungry you are. You can grow as fast as you want to. Now, when it comes to natural maturity and wisdom, that takes time. But spiritual growth and development, if you're hungry for the truth of God's Word, and and we were hungry. And so we were growing. We were learning to walk by faith, but you know, it was just a whole lot easier just to roll with the punches. I mean, now I'm turned on to God, and I'm living for God, and I'm fully dedicated to God. I remember thinking, geez, it'd just be a whole lot easier to go back to my denominational church, because I love God. But as far as standing in faith and trying to use my faith and overcome the devil and receive these, I mean, overcome the devil, yes, but, you know, receive all these good things God has for him, it'd just be a whole lot easier just to sit back and just roll with the punches and believe that everything happens is because God wants it to happen. And, you know, in other words, never use your faith. What I'm trying to say is when you use your faith, that's why the Bible says through faith and patience are to hold fast your confession of faith. Why? Because it doesn't always look like it's working. When I was at Rhema, you know, in 1978 and 79, there was a rumor. It wasn't true. It was a total lie. But there was a rumor that went around that E.W. Kenyon, how many of you ever heard of E.W. Kenyon? E.W. Kenyon, late 1800s, 1900s, champion, taught the Word of God strong, taught faith strong, taught redemption, you know, who you are in Christ strong and redemptive reality strong. There was a rumor that went around that E.W. Kenyon committed suicide in his 80s because he just couldn't take the pressure of the faith message. Well, that was a lie. But there was pressure in standing on the Word and believing God. There was the pressure of accepting the call into the ministry. Dear God, I was a good old boy until I got into the ministry. Then now all of a sudden there's some people that don't like you. And I'm going, what? I know it's hard for you to understand as a layman, but, you know, when there's people that didn't like the message you preached, people didn't like the way you did things and fought against you and so forth. And we're new in the Lord and we're learning and growing you know, things are tough in a lot of different areas. We're facing all kinds of challenges as a young Christian, as a young minister, as somebody that's just discovering who we are in Christ and what it meant to really walk by faith, and as one who had forsaken all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I know in 1978, my records show, that's the year I went to Rhema, my records show that Margaret and I, you know, records from the IRS show that we made $4,000 that year. Well, there's some financial challenges. I mean, we believe in God tooth and toenail just for a meal sometimes. Hallelujah. God is faithful. Let me make that real to you. Say, well, $4,000 was more money back then than it is today. Well, it wasn't that much more back then. It'd be about like having $15,000 today. So think of yourself as not being older where you've acquired some things, but think of yourself being 24 years old and you've got two children, two babies, and you've got $15,000. And during that year, you're going to move 1,000 miles across the country because you got to get all set up there. And then you're going to move again before the year's up and you got to do it all on $15,000. So, you know, there's all kinds of pressure, and life is exciting, life is good, and we're learning, and we're growing, and God has used us, and we're seeing miracle provision and miracles and answers to prayer on a daily basis. I mean, it's exciting. But there were times my flesh screamed at me. I mean, just screamed at me to give up and quit. Forget this ministry stuff. Forget this faith business. Forget all this. You know, go back and get your job and you know, get a real job and not just this part-time job so you can go to Bible school and so forth. And I mean, it was tough at times. And I just wanted to give up and I just wanted to quit. Well, it was about that time that I came across something that I read by Kenneth Hagin in his little book called Godliness is Profitable. And you know, in that time, as I look back, I have to remember, I realize and understand today that he faced challenges and test and, you know, had a lot of things to do. I mean, you got to believe God for they're building that campus and all those students and you're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. But you know, I just thought that somebody like him just never had any problems, never had any tests, never had any trials. Well, that was wrong, but that's what I thought, you know, that if you got really strong in faith, you wouldn't have any tests or trials. Well, that was wrong thinking. Later, I realized that the more you believed God and more you trusted God, the more the devil would come at you. Of course, he's a defeated foe, thank God. And so anyway, I came across this. Now, his approach in this book is, you know, Timothy 4, 7, and 8 says, for godliness is profitable. It lives, pays to live for God. Doesn't cost, it pays to live for God. Godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of the life to come. All I'd ever heard as a Christian was it'll be great in the sweet by and by, but it's going to be rotten in the here and now. But this scripture says you can have, you know, it can be blessed right now. Glory to God. And so he said, and this is what really, I'm reading this book, and he's talking about you can't grow weary, you know, you can't faint. He says, that's the only way you can make it. That's the only way you can make it in life and in ministry, by refusing to be weary and well-doing instead of giving up and quitting. I completed 46 years of ministry. So that's 1981. I completed 46 years of ministry. I had every reason in the world to be weary, but I simply refused to be weary in well-doing. I'm telling you, I started reading this and my eyes lit up and this was speaking to me. There were times when it didn't look like it was working. I mean, I preached faith when it didn't look like it was working for me. I preached faith boldly, bless God, without a dime in my pocket. I didn't know he ever had a time when he didn't have a dime in my pocket. I knew what it was like not to have a penny in my pocket. I could relate. I preached faith and prosperity boldly with bills stacked up all around me. I preached the Bible because I knew it was the Word of God. I knew if I stayed with it, opposed to quitting. I knew if I stayed with it, sooner or later I was going to rise to the top. If you think you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease and that everything is going to come to you on a silver platter and somebody's going to feed you with a silver spoon, you've got another thought coming. And then this really spoke to me. God will promote you. Sure He will. See, because I'd already heard Him say, and this was helping me, He always taught, you know, as Bible school students, He said, listen, payday comes, but with God it doesn't come every Friday night. It may not come. God may not settle up with you at the first of the month. You may not get paid on Friday. You may not get paid on the first and second, you know, two times a month. But if you'll stick with it and you'll not give up and you'll not quit, payday's coming. Payday's coming. God will not fail you. Hallelujah. So he says, God will promote you. Sure he will. But you're going to have to make the consecration. You're going to have to make the dedication. You're going to have to make the choice. You're going to have the intestinal fortitude that some people call guts to say, this is what God called me to do. I'm going to do it. Go over or under, come hell or high water, sink or swim, live or die, burn every bridge behind me, praise God. Well, that's where I was at. My wife and I made that kind of dedication. Margaret and I made that kind of dedication. My wife and I made that kind of dedication. It looked like we were going to do it all, too. It looked like we were going to sink. It looked like we were going to go under. It looked like we were going to die. But I meant it when I said, I'm not going to turn back, because Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise God, I knew this was it. I knew this was what God wanted me to do, even when it seemed like nobody was listening. I preached that way when I was young, too. People would say, you know, that Hagin's an odd character. He's odd. And my friends would say, well, I don't understand him myself. You see, you're an oddity to others when you walk by faith. They're all walking by sight. You're an oddity to people when you won't worry. You're an oddity to people when you're obeying God and preaching that God will promote you and you have to sell your automobile for junk and light out on foot. That means he did that when he was real young. Well, what happened to me? I told myself, praise God, I'm not going to stop. Even if I do have to jump that old car, I'm still going. If I have to walk, I'll go. I'm still going because sooner or later, God will promote you. Amen. Then in another part of the book, just a little short section here. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, it would have been easy to become weary. It would have been easy to quit. Absolutely. That would have been the easy way out. Just quit. Just give up. My flesh wanted to quit. My mind wanted to quit. But something on the inside of me, this spoke to me. Something on the inside of me, the Word of God, the Spirit of God on the inside, something on the inside of me just wouldn't let me. Promotion will come sooner or later. It's coming. So be not weary. Don't quit. Promotion day is coming. Glory to God. You're about to be promoted. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when it comes to living for God and doing His will, we should never give up or quit. When it comes to obeying God, we should never give up or quit. When it comes to being faithful to work in His kingdom, we should never give up. We should never quit. When it comes to possessing the promises by faith, we should never give up. When it comes to dealing with the flesh and the sin and the devil, we should never give up and quit. When it comes to reading your Bible and studying your Bible and meditating in the Word of God, never quit. When it comes to prayer, never quit. When it comes to church and attendance and involvement, never quit. Never quit. Never quit. Everybody say, never quit. Now, there are a lot of things you could say about those things I just mentioned that you should never quit, but let me close this morning by just focusing on this one. When you've experienced some kind of defeat or failure, when you've been knocked down, have you ever been knocked down? You know, Paul says we're knocked down but not knocked out. When you feel like you've just blown it and messed up, when you've fallen miserably in some way, when you just don't know what to do, when your mind screams at you, there's just no use, what's the use, and you just feel like a total failure and screw up, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. If you give up and quit and wallow in your sin and wallow in darkness, it may not be sin, but you wallow in self-pity, or you wallow in defeat and stay down, then you're playing right into the hands of the devil. In the midst of the pity party, the devil's right there, I promise you. In the midst of walking in darkness, the devil is right. Don't play into the hands of the devil. You know, I like Micah 7:8. It says, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise." Hallelujah. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Glory to God. The idea is, I may be sitting in darkness right now, but glory to God, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I'm going to make the right decisions. I'm going to repent, whatever I need to do, and God will give me light, and I will walk in the light. Psalms 37:24 says, though he may fall or fail, he shall not be utterly cast down. You know, Peter was walking on the water, but then he failed. And he began to sink. And Jesus reached out. Actually, the Bible says, immediately, Jesus reached out His hand to him. I like that immediately part, don't you? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So when Jesus reaches out His hand to rescue you because you've fallen, because you just don't know what to do, because you think it's no more use, then reach up and take His hand. Glory to God. Don't ignore His hand. Don't push it away out of ignorance or out of pride or out of shame or because you think God failed you in some way or for any other reason. But listen, let Him lift you back up. Get up. How do you get up? Get up by, in other words, this is how you do it. Get up by, repent if you need to. Resist the devil once again. Make some right decision. Stir yourself up. Get your fire back. Pursue God again and start believing again. But never give up. Never give up. Never give up. That's how you get back up. You repent. Any combination of these. Repent. Resist. Make right decisions. Stir yourself. Get your fire back. Pursue God. Start believing again. But never, 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 never give up. Hallelujah. There was a public school teacher by the name of J.B. Coates. I think he was born in 1905 or 1906. And he was a Baptist deacon. He was a musician and he was a songwriter. Wrote many, many songs. Lived to the 60s, I think. Well, one day he was visiting an elderly man. And while he was visiting this elderly man was near death. And so he asked him, he said to the old man, where are you going to spend eternity? And the old man looked at him and said, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the Lord? Well, J.B. Coates, three or four years later, inspired by what that man said, where could I go but to the Lord? He wrote a song, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? Now, that song today is in many, many, many hymnals. Elvis Presley recorded Where Could I Go to the Lord? And I don't think there's ever been a Southern gospel group that existed that didn't at one time or another sing the song, Where Could I Go to the Lord? Because, like all popular songs, it has a catchy little tune to it. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. And so the song, of course, it has poetic, like all songwriters, it's poetic. But it says, striving along to face temptation, striving along to face temptation sore in this old sinful world, seeking a refuge for my soul. Now, what's a refuge? In other words, you need a refuge because somebody's pursuing you. You need peace. You need protection. You need safety. So that's all wrapped up in the song. When I need a friend to help me, Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. When you need a friend to really help you in the end. When you face death, where could you go to the Lord? So this simple song emphasizes when you face tests and trials and temptation, when you need help, when you need peace, when you need protection, when you need deliverance, when you need a word from heaven. One song says, when my soul needs manna from above, when you need a word from heaven, when you need spiritual nourishment, don't give up, don't quit. Where could you go? Where could you go? Jesus turned to his disciples one day and said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, Lord, where would we go? You have all the answers to life. Some people make the wrong decision, but they said, we're not leaving you. Where could we go? It wouldn't be any use to go anywhere else, but another to go to you. Amen. And so the song, the refrain says, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Southern Gospel. Needing a friend. Now, right now, their tenor would come in singing really. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. Look it up. You can hear the Gaithers sing it. They'll do it justice. And if you like Margaret, you can hear Elvis sing it. Glory to God. Listen, when you're in trouble, where should you go? Amen. Where can you go? Help me out here. Amen. When you need real help, where can you go? Where should you go? When you've sinned and blown it and missed it horribly, where can you go? Where should you go? When you don't know what to do, who should you turn to? Who can you turn to? When there's no place else to turn, who do you go to? When things seem hopeless, who do you go to? When you've fallen, for whatever reason, don't give up, but go to the Lord. Hallelujah. Where should I go? Why should you go to the Lord? Because nobody loves you like the Lord loves you. Nobody cares for you like the Lord cares for you. Nobody can forgive you and save you like the Lord can. Nobody can do for you what God can do for you. Amen. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Old spiritual. Even Andre Crouch sang that song. Can't nobody do me like the Lord can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nobody has the ability to help you like God can. Nobody has the ability to help you like God can. So when you need help of any kind, tell me again, where should you go?
To the Lord.
Where could I go but to the Lord? Amen. I said amen. If you're a sinner in need of a Savior, where should you go?
To the Lord.
If you're a backslidden Christian, where should you go?
To the Lord.
If you're bound and oppressed, where should you go? If you need help, where should you go?
To the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't wallow in the mud. But go to the Lord. He's always there with his hand extended to pick you up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Where could I go but to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this. Say this. Say, can't nobody. Do me like Jesus. I think my buddy Don Atkins, that's one of his favorite songs from the deep, deep, deep past. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. You want to play that? Jeez, I ain't never heard that song. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's just a simple word this morning, inspired by the Holy Ghost, impressed by the Holy Ghost to share with you. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're dealing with. But don't give up. Don't ever. You know, I'll tell you something that, you know, I talked about that helped me so much when I read that from Brother Hagin about when you just have to have the intestinal fortitude, so some people call guts, come hell or high water, to say, I'm not giving up. I don't care how many times you fail, don't give up. I remember saying, this helped me tremendously back in those days, going all the way back to the 70s, Brother Copeland saying, when you sin, don't run from God, run to Him. Run to Him. He's there to help you. Nobody has the wisdom like He has to give you. Nobody has the word that you need, the nourishment that you need, the victory. Nobody has it like Jesus does. Glory to God. Say, I turn to You this morning, Lord Jesus. I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. I will keep praying. I will keep reading and studying. And I will keep doing my part in the kingdom of God. I will keep tithing and giving. I will be faithful. I will keep standing in faith. I will persevere. And I will continue to resist the devil. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now give Him praise for that and give Him thanksgiving for that. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bokuran sadalavamono sakareti kibiandolo kurandele kerediki. Amen. And then Brother Copeland came along, you know, and sang that song. Jenny Grind wrote it, but he came, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. If you don't quit, you can't be defeated. All things being equal, you know. So say that. I say, I will not be defeated. I will not quit. In the name of Jesus, I will do everything that God has called me to do. In the name of Jesus. So if you quit on some vision that God gave you, pick it back up. Pick it back up. Get back up. Get your fire back. Glory to God. And continue on with God. Continue. 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 It's an interesting Bible study in the New Testament to see how many times the New Testament church is told to continue in the things of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody's head bowed, every eye closed. Glory to God. If you're here, I'm not going to call you out to the front. This is between you and God. But you just if you, everybody's head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're saved, then you know it. Lift your hand. Well, see, that's everybody. But eyes are still closed, head's still bowed. If you're here and you just feel like I've just messed up, or you've just been confused, or you just hadn't know what to do, or if you've given up, in some area of your life, you've given up ever experiencing that promise, or giving up on this, or giving up on that, or just feel like a failure, and you want to get back up this morning. If that's you, I'm not going to call you to the front. If that's you, lift your hand high for me, please, right now. I see it. I see it. I see it. Glory, I see them. Glory to God. You can put them down. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Everybody pray. Thank You, Jesus. I want you to make the decision right now. I will not stay down. I will not quit. I will not give up. Because I know that God is for me, God is with me, and God is on my side. Look up at me. Look up at me. I was years ago, I'll never forget this story. A lady was here preaching. Can't think of her name now. Wrote a book great book on favor and Kate McVeigh. And so Kate, listen to me if you raise your hand. Kate McVeigh was watching the fight with Evander Holyfield. Do you know who Evander Holyfield is? Maybe you don't know if you're young. Evander Holyfield was the world heavyweight champion. He defeated, you know, Mike Tyson. And Evander Holyfield was a noted Christian, a very strong Christian. And so, you know, you're watching Evander through the years come up through the ranks, and Mike Tyson actually dodges him a little bit, doesn't want to fight him. You know, he's fighting these chumps, as we say in the boxing world, because Evander's, and Evander's not even really a true heavyweight. He's much lighter, but he's really good, and he eventually becomes the heavyweight champion of the world. And so Kate says, you know, she says, you know, I don't care one thing about boxing. I could care less about boxing. It even seems brutal to me. But she said, you know, it comes on some sports show in the afternoon in Evander Holyfield, and I'm going, hey, that's Evander. That's the Christian. I watch the Christian fight. So she's sitting there, and she's, you know, she gets into it, even though she doesn't care anything about boxing. She gets into it, and it's kind of exciting, you know, but it's also tense because, you know, boxing is, they're going at it, and they'll say the other guy won this round, and the next round they'll say this other guy won. In the third round, Evander got knocked down, and she's all nervous, and she's like, oh, my God. You know, and then Evander does a little better, and she's wondering who's going to win it because it still goes like 12 rounds, and she's only in about the fourth round. And all of a sudden, the crawl line reads on the bottom of that, this is the fight that Evander Holyfield won over so-and-so. So she said, the rest of the fight, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if they knock him down. I don't care if the announcers say it looks like he's losing this fight. I could care less because I know he already won. Listen, you may feel like you're knocked down right now. But God already won. Jesus already won. The victory's already assured. Glory to God. You are the winner. You win in Christ. So just begin to rejoice and say, glory to God. I'm not down. I'm not out. I'm the winner. Praise God. I know how this ends. I've read the back of the book. We win. And so you just go ahead and smile and rejoice and say, I'm a winner in Christ. I'm not defeated. Glory to God. The devil may tell you, you're out. You go, no, devil. I've already seen the crawl line. I win. And you go in that knowledge this morning, you just rejoice with that. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So say it out loud. Say, I'm a winner. Not a wiener. Not a whiner. Say it again. I'm a winner. Now tell two people around you and you're dismissed. Praise God. God bless you.